Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? We had a wonderful Wow Wednesday. Were you here with us? Well, maybe you remember some things, or maybe we'll be introducing you to some things. Well, we started off our morning with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And, she had some stories. Well, she said she started off with good news, which was true. 23 high school dads called Dads on Duty. Yes, they started a movement to help increase the peace in the school. Yes. So Dads on Duty, they are on site during the school day, and they say that the results are there have been less fights. Yes. Amen. You know, it takes a lot to make that decision to step up and be that dad, not only in the home, but in the school. And, you know, they're not paid. They're not the police officers. They're not, you know, in school safety. But they are dads who are concerned, who understand that their presence actually can make a difference. And we want to really shout them out this morning. And I don't quite remember where they are. So, Vivian, if you're listening, send on over the state and the location they're in. And, you know, so we want to, you know, give them the props that they deserve. You know, we always bash them when they're not doing what they need to do. But we want to give God thanks for them understanding. And then, you know, hearing the movement of God. You know, because let me tell you something. The enemy ain't got no parts of that. You hear what I'm telling you? No parts of it. Okay? There would be 23 dads standing out on the corner drinking or using drugs or selling drugs or plotting to commit a crime. So we want to make sure that we shout them out and give them the recognition that they deserve for just being there. Okay, we talked about, well, Vivian talked about, unfortunately, you know, the mental health of our children going down the drain even more than we even understand it. And they're actually saying that the parents are the ones who initially start out with the mental health issues. And because of that, the children are a byproduct of that mental illness. And they're just calling the whole thing a sick out. Yes. You know, so do you live in a sick house? I sure hope not. I sure hope not. You know, Elder and I, Tisha, brought up a really good point yesterday. And, you know, we're really talking about the fact that, you know, the pastors are not pretty much equipped to do the job of a therapist. Yes, I mentioned that, you know, unfortunately, the therapists are making their money and the church is empty. Yes, and it's because, you know, people do not, they don't want to take that time to be in church. They don't want to take the time to be in the church. And because they don't want to take the time to be in church, yeah, they go for the therapist. They have to go to the therapist because that's dealing with an entirely different issue of the person. And, you know, to go up and sit up in church and to pray and praise the Lord is not going to get the job done alone sometimes. Yeah. A lot of times, by the time, you know, it all starts, hey, unfortunately, it's a little too late. And now you need all of the above. You just don't need to be sitting up in church and praising the Lord. Sometimes, you know, on its rare occasions, it works. And we give God thanks. But other times, no, you just need someone else to speak to who has that, you know, expertise in the mind itself. And, you know, we want to start doing things differently. You know, we're talking about our children and it being a byproduct, their mental health as a byproduct of the parents. Then what does that mean? Yeah, seems like rocket science to you and me. No, just get yourself together. Yes. Give your life to the Lord. Let the Lord be the head of your life. And that way, when you have these children and when you're raising these children, they're being raised in a sound home, a home that is living in the fear and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, a family that prays together stays together. And that's in many, many ways, not just, you know, everything that goes on. You know, in one area, it's the entire picture. It's the family stays together in its entirety. Everybody's not going in a different direction. You know, these days, the parents don't want God. And if the parents don't want God, the kids probably have no clue as to what's going on in the spiritual world, in the godly world, in the Christian world. So we want to make sure we're giving our children everything from scratch. Yes. Okay. So come on, let's get it together. Well, shout out to, you know, everybody in the back, you know, what do I want to call them? Behind the scenes listeners. Shreveport, Louisiana. That's where the dads on duty is. Thank you so much. I so appreciate you. And, they just have my back. They just have my back. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's where Dads on Duty is located. Okay. We have our wow news from yesterday that we never got to. And I don't know if we're going to talk about it today because there's a whole lot of stuff that we're going to talk about today. You know, I couldn't quite figure out. Oh, let me go back. Today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, we're here. You know, we had our Women of Worship yesterday where we talked about visions, your individual visions. Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place this morning. I got like 900 things on my brain. But let's go back. We had our Women of Worship yesterday. We talked about our visions, our independent visions, and how those visions feed the work we do ultimately for the Lord. And we talked about the vision of helping others. You know, you can't do anything. I'm be honest. You can't do anything. You can't even hold down a real regular job if you don't have the vision for helping others, because most jobs have something to do with people. Yeah, very few jobs have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with people. I mean, at the end result, if it has something to do with people, then it has something to do with people, and you're helping other people. So you got to have the vision for helping others, okay? And you have to be future-focused. Yes. You can't just be thinking about today. No. Today is, you know, if God is going to spare our life, then tomorrow we'll be here. Next week we'll be here. And we do have to plan ahead. You know, it tells us, write the plan and make it plain. So we got to make sure we do that. Well, we had our Chucky Talk. Dwayne dropped by and he reminded us again for the 150th time, change them passwords. Very bad habit that I have, because there's so many passwords that I need, I can't even keep up with how many passwords I need. If I start changing them, and I don't know about writing them down. I know everybody says write them down, but if you write them down, and if I write them down in code, guess what? Man, I forget it. So, you know, but change them passwords. Change those passwords. Let's get in the habit, everybody. You know, as soon as the smoke clears, I'm going to get in. I'm really going to sit down and I'm going to change my passwords so that I can make sure that there's no tracking, you know. And if somebody picks up one password, you know, you don't want them figuring out the rest of your passwords. Yes. So that was his reminder yesterday. And we had our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte that rounded off the Wow Wednesday. So now I can say it's Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, we are on the second side of the weekday. Yes. Ooh, has God brought us through or has God brought us through? Giving God thanks for ushering us into this side of the week. And I pray everybody, you know, woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to get our talk on or our listen on today. But I want to make sure everybody gets their talk on because I want you to get involved. I have a new segment that I'd love to implement. Because yesterday I saw something, I was like, wow. It was Wow Wednesday when I left this house and went to the store. So I want to, you know, try something out today and see if, you know, if it'll fly. You know, and maybe it will and maybe it won't. But if I know you, the Due Time listeners, and my Due Time crew, I knew you got something that's definitely going to fall into this category, okay? All right, so we're going to try it when I come back. So, you know, make sure we get ready to take this break that you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go and text and tell a friend, call a friend, send some smoke signals. Let somebody know that a Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we are coming right back.
Nationwide Children's Hospital has gone from a very strong regional hospital to a national leader in cancer care. I'm Dr. Randall Olszewski. I'm a pediatric oncologist at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Many families come to us at the time of their diagnosis, and their number one question is why? Why did this happen? We are learning more and more about what causes cancer. The first hurdle is to cure them, but it's a rough road for them. Most children and adolescents with cancer are going to survive their disease. We have a cancer survivorship clinic here for children who have survived their cancer and are more than 5 years off therapy. Good survivorship care really is having providers who understand not only the therapy they received, but also the side effects that therapy can bring down the line. There's a lot of moving parts. Cancer care is complex. It involves a large team of people. It can take time, but we're learning more and more, and everyone is here really to focus on you, not just as a patient, but also as a family.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time. We're Pastor Steph. Or welcome back. That's what I was trying to say, and all the words got kind of jumbled up. Welcome back. If you've already joined us, I am so happy that God has spared our life, that we are on the second side of the week. Yes. Yeah. What about you? You know, we started off the other day, you know, really giving God thanks for all that he has done for us. And he's done a lot. He's done quite a bit for us. You know, I would say so. And I'm giving God thanks because, you know, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even be here. And how blessed are we? How blessed are we to even be able to talk to family, spend time with family, live with family? Yeah. Okay, so let's give God thanks. Let's give God thanks. So, it is Thursday, and it is Therapeutic Thursday, and we're talking about our health. And today, I came across an article that I thought would be really, really, really good. And I've seen this article, I mean, before, and quite a while ago, and I think I forgot to kind of snatch it up. But I know that a lot of us have problems with sleeping, you know, that position that you get in. You know, I know sometimes I have some real problems with the position that makes me most comfortable. And just in case that might be you, I want to talk about, guess what? The sleeping positions that are best when it comes to waking up without the aches and pains or even injury. Yeah, they're saying that some sleeping positions can even cause injury to the body. Yeah, can you imagine that? Okay, so they say that sleeping with your arm above your head or on your shoulder for an extended period of time can lead to painful injuries. Yes, sleeping with a pillow that allows your neck to rest at odd angles or sleeping with your legs elevated can also lead to uncomfortable situations. Even sleeping while sitting in an upright position can lead to head and neck injuries. Wow. Wow. They say, and another problem position tends to be sleeping on your stomach. So they say that you need to avoid sleeping on your stomach. They say sleeping on your stomach can place strain on your back and neck and cause more tossing and turning and restlessness during the night. Oh, the fetal position is also not recommended as the extreme curvature of the spine can cause discomfort in the neck and back, and being tightly curled can also restrict your breathing. Wow. So in that short time, we've learned that sleeping with your arms above your head or on your shoulder for an extended period of time can cause painful injury. Sleeping with a pillow that allows your neck to rest at odd angles. Sleeping with your legs elevated. Sleeping while upright all can lead to neck injuries and back injuries. And don't forget, don't sleep on your stomach, because that can lead to stomach, back, and neck injuries. All righty? And no fetal position. No fetal position. They say the best sleeping position to avoid pain, they say sleeping on your back. Sleep in a straight position with your arms down by your sides and on your neck is going to be your best bet. They say you're less likely to pull a muscle or displace a rib in extreme. That's the extreme scenario, but some people have been known to displace a rib. They say if you aren't stretched out, you can definitely cause problems, like we just got finished reading. And they say sleeping on your back also helps alleviate neck, shoulder, and back pain. They say another good position to sleep on is your side. But make sure that when you sleep on your side, you're not, you know, curled up. Remember, that's the fetal position. You don't want to do that. They say that this enables the spine to stay in a neutral position and helps with neck, shoulder, and back pain. Okay. Wow. They say also, if you sleep with your arms above your head, try retraining your body by tucking in a sheet around your arms when they're down by your side. Okay? And they suggest for you to use pillows as a support system to alleviate your knees or neck to relieve pressure and find a firm mattress that supports your body. Well, everybody can't sleep on no firm mattress. Yeah, I don't know. What kind of mattress you sleep on? You know, I sleep on one of those. I don't know how many of you tried the mattress that, what do they call it? It's like when you, it remembers, memory foam. There it is. The memory foam. Whatever your position is. When I tell you that was the hardest adjustment, it's just overdue time for me to get a mattress, and I wanted something thick, so it was like 10 inches, so I bought a memory foam mattress topper. So not only did I have the memory foam bed mattress, but I also had the memory foam topper. And when I tell you, oh my goodness, every time I went to move, my hands sank, my body sank, my knees sank, my arms sank, my head sank. Oh my goodness, it took a while to get adjusted to that. And the memory foam topping was even harder to get adjusted to, because whenever I get off the bed, it slides. So I'm constantly readjusting the memory foam. So, you know, when you're talking about the sleeping positions, you really got to think about all of that as well. Because when you go to move, it remembers. It literally does. It literally does remember your position. I mean, once you get into another position, it remembers that position as well. But, you know, the old position is gone. But man, oh man, oh man. And I have to tell you, I didn't wake up with a lot of body aches and things like that. You know, sometimes when you start off on a new mattress, your body has to get, you know, acclimated to hard, soft, medium. But I have to tell you, I did not have any aches and pains or anything like that. It was just really the adjustment of sinking into the bed every time you moved. And you can't just turn. You can't just move because you're sinking every time you move. But after a while, it gets better. It does get better. So if you're thinking about buying a mattress, and I'm only bringing this up because they said, you know, go get a firm mattress or whatever. You know, I guess for most people, that's what, you know, the best bet is. I ended up really liking the memory foam. It was an adjustment, but at the end of the day, it was really, really good. And mattresses are so expensive. expensive these days. So expensive. Yeah. I mean, to hear what a bed costs, oh my goodness gracious. And it's, oh, you know, it lasts you 10 years. It just ought to. It just ought to. Okay, so that brings me to this new segment that I thought of yesterday. I went to the supermarket. And when you first walk in, as with many supermarkets, you know, you hit the produce section. And the first thing to my immediate left were the cantaloupes. Now, you know, cantaloupes are really best bought, as we know, in the summertime. You know, once it starts shifting, then cantaloupe, watermelon, things like that, they're not really sweet. $3.99. Have you lost your mind? So that's the new segment. Have you lost your mind? You know, we just got finished talking to Vivian yesterday about, you know, the expense of food, you know, and the fact that, you know, Thanksgiving is going to, you know, cost us a pretty penny this year. And we were talking about the fact that we were already dealing with elevated, you know, food costs. Three. Have you lost your mind? That's what. Please, 347-285-7777. 347-285-7777. I need you to just text in, have you lost your mind statement, question. Tell us what you saw for whatever price. It doesn't even have to be food. It does not have to be food. It just happened to be food yesterday. And I was so stuck. Y'all can't be paying that kind of money for cantaloupe that you are charging us. $4. And it wasn't even a huge cantaloupe. It was just like a regular average cantaloupe, and then the cantaloupe had the nerve to look sick. Oh my god, I was too through. And I'm standing there and I'm like, yo, are you serious? So that's not the last thing I saw yesterday in the produce section. So I had this serious, I ended up going through the store and I got to the bacon section. So, you know, we don't eat turkey bacon. And I'm looking, and there's no turkey bacon at all at first. I'm like, where's all the turkey bacon? All this pork all over the place. And finally, they moved the turkey bacon. So, first of all, they didn't even have the brand that, I think it's North Green, Genio or Oscar Mayer, one of them two. So, you know, whichever's on sale is what I buy. So, here we are. I'm looking through and I find the turkey bacon and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm willing to pay this much. It was $5. Well, I didn't buy the regular turkey bacon. I bought the other one. There's another type of bacon that's thick. And I bought that one and it was $5. And I was like, you know what? If you buy out food, which is, you know, restaurant, I call it out food. If you buy out food, it's going to cost you. So, okay, I want a BLT. So I said, oh, okay, let me go back and get the lettuce. So now I notice in the produce section, half the signs are gone. Now, you know in the produce section, you always got signs, five for this, for the lemons or limes or, you know, what do you call this, cucumbers, you know, two for a dollar, whatever. There's no sign in the produce section. Half of the stuff they have no signs. So I'm like, well, maybe they're just, you know, getting themselves together here. So I go to my girl at the cash register, and I'm like, how much is a head of lettuce? She almost didn't even want to tell me. $3.99. Have you lost your mind? Another set of sick-looking heads of lettuce for $3.99. How do you charge $4 for a head of lettuce and a cantaloupe? So that means that if a head of lettuce and a cantaloupe is what I wanted, I would have paid pretty much $10 for those two things alone. I was done. I didn't even want to shop anymore. I was done. Please let me know, am I the only one in Queens, in New York, in this nation who is looking at prices that are astronomically crazy? Am I the only one, or have you gone to the store and you have seen some prices and you are standing there saying, have you lost your mind? I can't. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So to get a BLT yesterday cost me $5 for the bacon, turkey bacon. So I ended up getting the bag of lettuce. So you know what that must be like on a sandwich. Stuff is falling all over the place. But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We got that bag of lettuce for $2.99. So now that's already $3. That's $8. So I go get the bread. The bread is $3. So that's $11. The tomatoes were like, the cheapest ones were $1.79 a pound. So it cost me, where am I, above $11? It cost me almost $15 to make a BLT in my house. In my house. In my house. At least if I go to the store and make the BLT, it's, hey, it cost me $15, but they done made the sandwich. Oh, my goodness gracious. You have got to let me know, am I the only one who is experiencing this? I was 2-3 yesterday. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, all right. I just had to get that out. I've been holding that all day and all night so I could talk to my Dutan people about these crazy prices. All right. Well, I couldn't figure out what we were going to do today. So I started looking through the news. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, what do you think I found? Some more crazy, crazy, crazy news. Well, they have a school and they are going buck wild in this school. And they are really, really, really upset. I'm trying to find out where the school is. But it's homecoming time. And in this one particular school, for homecoming this year, they decided to do something different. And they set up the gym. They sat the teachers and administrators in the gym in chairs, and they started giving the teachers and the administration staff lap dances. Yes. Lap dances. And they are, I mean, enraged. When the news came out, when the pictures were shown that they were doing this, and they said the thing that really was upsetting was it looked like the staff was having a good old time. Well, I guess so. You looking at a whole bunch of old people sitting in these chairs? I guess so. They were doing the lap dancing. They say even the principal was a part of this lap dance, and the boys were doing lap dances and the girls were doing lap dances. And they said they were really upset because they started reflecting on the different things that people have been complaining about that's going on in the school. And they're saying that, you know, the books about the civil rights movement, they don't feel those books are safe. They're saying the history lessons about racism, they don't like that. They're saying they think that the, you know, having the people are fighting over masks, whether the children should wear masks or not. They say that the vaccine, you know, they're worried about might kill a kid. And they're looking at all of these things, no prayer in the school. And they're saying, how in the world are you banning all of these things, including the book Beloved by Toni Morrison, because it gave some high school kid, a boy in particular, nightmares. And, but it's fine to give lap dances. So the school is in an uproar because now it's fine to give lap dances. Now I'm trying to figure this thing out here. You don't want interaction with the personnel, the school personnel, and the children, the students, to a certain degree. We've been discouraging them from doing certain things, being alone with the teachers and all of this kind of stuff. But yet, when the lap dancing started, what in the world did you do? Nothing. So the principal is in on this lap dance. So then who's manning the school and what the children or the teachers are doing? So, yeah. And you want to know later when these children are dating the teachers, what's going on? When the teachers are having babies with the students, what's going on? Well, the lap dance sure ain't going to help you get this done. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. Well, next story. They have a New Jersey teacher. These teachers are just going buck wild. They need to go back to remote learning. There's a New Jersey teacher who was suspended after a verbal exchange with, let's call this, a Muslim student. So here's the deal. So the teacher gave out an assignment, and this was a senior student. He's 17 years old, and he asked the teacher whether he could have more time to complete the assignment. And the teacher said, "We don't negotiate with terrorists." Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess they're laying off the black kids. Really? Really? Oh, my gosh. "We don't negotiate with terrorists." That's how you answer the kids. You know, some people may not be surprised. And I'm not necessarily surprised. I'm just floored at how far this stuff is going. And that's really what I guess I'm talking about today. It's just, where's the limit? So we got the children who's setting the teachers up for lap dances. We have the teachers who are talking to the students, racist, you know, on a racist level. Because we just talked about this a week or so ago. And now, you know, it's just going across the board. Like I said, well, I guess they're laying off of the children on our side of the fence. So, you know, it's about that time for them to lay off or lay on somebody else. But this, I mean, it's just, where do we stop? Where do we stop? You know, they were talking about suspending, you know, the teachers and stuff like that for not being vaccinated. Well, my question is, you need to do a whole lot more suspending, because these teachers are really just going buck wild, and all of their feeling is now coming out. That's what's really happening. All of the expressions that they're making and all of this, it's just hitting the surface. So now the teachers are really saying everything that they want to say. Nothing is being held back. Absolutely absolutely nothing is being held back. Nothing. Whatever I want to say is what I want to say. And it's just becoming worse and worse and worse. And, you know, this was an older student. This was an older student. And maybe, you know, it's, thank God it's not a younger child. But at what point do we stop? At what point do we stop? Do we just go on and on and on with this, you know, and what are we going to do about the teachers? That's the question that I'm having. What are we doing about the teachers? Is it just going to be, okay, they're going to get suspended and that's the worst case scenario? I don't even know. I don't even know what you do about these teachers. What do you do? I don't know. You know, does it wipe away the, does it constitute a bad teacher? Does it make them a bad teacher? I don't know. I don't know. It's just worse and again 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 worse. It's just all out of, they're out of control. And you know what? Somebody might say they've been out of control. Someone may say they have been out of control. I don't know. I definitely like to talk about it. I don't know. I got one more news story. Help me out here. I need you to help me out here. So get your thoughts together. Give me some thoughts. 347-285-7777. You know, we're always talking about these little TikTok things that are coming up on, you know, the internet. And this is why we talk about praying for our children. Because now they're talking about how dangerous a new TikTok challenge is. And shoving giant cloves of garlic up your nose. Now, do I have to tell you which side of the fence we talking about? Well, here's the thing. We do have our people on that side of the fence every once in a while. Yes, because they're going to these schools and they're doing these things and they're not as far from us as we think. It really is not as far as we think, because when you look at these pictures and things like that, yeah, you see some of us in it. Well, they're sticking garlic cloves up their nose, and I'm reading these articles, and I went through a couple of them, and I'm really trying to figure out what is the point. What is the point? You know, are we just doing this stuff? Oh, okay, I see. They're saying that they're doing this to clear up their sinuses. Yeah. They say that putting cloves of garlic up your nose, whole cloves of garlic up your nose, is clearing up sinuses and nothing is wrong with it. And that's why this challenge is coming up, because they want to alert us that, well, you don't have to alert me because I ain't trying to see nothing on my nose, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. They're trying to alert us that, hey, this stuff is really dangerous. It is not as innocent as you may think it is. No. So they have several doctors who have come up and have spoken up and have said, listen, if you want to clear your sinuses, you're going to have to find another way, because if you put garlic up your nose like that, it can lead to bleeding and uncontrollable bleeding, and you can cause permanent sinus damage. So please don't do it. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because a lot of times we think that our children are not a part of this. And in actuality, they are. they are a part of this. And I'm really, really, really concerned that we are dismissing a lot of this stuff because it doesn't appear as though our side of the fence is doing it. But yeah, our side of the fence is doing it as well. Now, we as adults may not be doing it, but we don't know what our children are doing. We don't know what our children are doing. So I want to make sure that we are, you know, alerting everybody. We're alerting everybody to, you know, some of this stuff. And that's why a lot of these TikTok movements are coming about, because people are getting bored. They can't find nothing else to do. And they're getting involved with these things, and it's causing a lot of damage. And we don't know what's going on with our children. You know, yesterday Vivian brought up the fact that, you know, our children are headed to the pediatricians with more mental health issues than ever before. So we got to make sure we stay on top of these things, okay? All right. Well, let's get to talking to our due time crew, because we need to have some conversation, because these people have lost their mind. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing today?
I am fine, thank you. I can't speak for everybody else, but I'm fine, thank you, today. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good, that's good. That's good. So, Pastor KL, we're talking about the lab things going on at the school. Now, they wanted to get a little more creative with their homecoming practice and activities, and they set up the gym, and not just the boys, not just the girls, but both. They say have dressed up in Hooters outfits, carrying glasses and trays and make-believe beer and things like that. Some of the male students are dressed up in tights and bikinis, and they pretended, well, I don't know how to pretend it because they're looking here in these pictures, they're giving lap dances. What's happening in our schools, Pastor KL? Because the principal was in one of them chairs getting the lap dance.
Well, first I'd like to ask the question, since you have the visual, you know, is Brother Al there? Because, you know, he loved the kids. And I'm just trying to figure out, is this the reason why he loved the kids? So, you know, so I'm just trying to see if you can zoom into anything and see Brother Al. 25 years, I see why.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And for grown men and or grown women to participate in this with children, forget about suspending. It should be some type of jail sentence. You know, I mean, that's pedophile. You know, it's really ridiculous. Really, really ridiculous.
And that's what I was asking. You know, what are we doing? Well, I'm going to kind of roll that over in a minute. So let me hold off. But it's like, what do you do when even the principal is a part of it? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who's manning the school now?
Who's manning the school
if the principal is participating in this activity? Then who's setting the pace? If you remember a few weeks ago, Pastor KL, one of the teachers was charged with something. Oh, remember that the teacher was charged with doing something sexual with the child, and they didn't get rid of the teacher. And they came the principal was also on the hit list for having, you know, I mean, that's what, at what point? So you're mentioning people need to go to jail. Well, I happen to agree, because it's like, what else do you do? I don't know. What else do you do?
It's ridiculous. It's really, really ridiculous. Really, really ridiculous.
Well, we're adding to that, Pastor KL, the statement that the teacher made to the Muslim student when the student asked, could he have more time to complete the assignment that was given? He said, we don't negotiate with terrorists. That's what I said. What do we do with these people? Do you just continue to suspend? Because, see, now they're saying that he's suspended so they can do an investigation. What are you investigating?
Yeah, I mean, it's a blanket statement. I mean, there's no need to investigate. I think beyond suspension, he should lose his license because apparently he doesn't have the professionalism to deal with the children. So if you're doing it on that side of the fence, what's going to happen on my side of the fence? You know what I mean? We don't negotiate the people who pick cotton. You know what I mean? We don't negotiate with people with nappy hair. I mean, what's going to be the next statement?
Right.
You know, and then when is far too far? You know, when have you gone too far? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, what happens now when the child and our children retaliate, then is the children's fault. Or when the parents retaliate, then is the parents' fault. So, I mean, when do we stop this thing from escalating to the next level?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really trying to figure out, you know, after, you know, my thing is, what were you investigating? It's a cut and dry situation. Are you trying to find out did he say all the statements or whatever? But if he did or he didn't, just this one, you know, it's like, well, you know, it's only one time. No, it's enough. We're not allowed a certain level of mistake when we're doing certain jobs. You know, no. And I agree with you. You know, next it'll be a nappy head statement or a, you know, a nigger statement or something. It'll be something. It'll be something else.
But not only that. Listen, if I shoot you today, I can't tell the police who I only shot one person. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was just one time.
Absolutely.
I shot you. And when you make those kind of statements, you've shot me. You know, you've shot me down. You know, I'm bleeding on the inside. So I can't wait until you shoot somebody else for somebody to come to my rescue. I'm already shot. I'm already in pain. So,
Absolutely, Pastor Kale. I like that that analogy. You know, it's like a biblical analogy, you know, where, you know, you can't dismiss it because it's not. You know, so, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing what these people are being allowed to do. Really amazing. So, you know, I want to get your thought on the garlic. The garlic. We got this new garlic challenge. We're sticking garlic up our nose to clear out our sinuses. And I wanted to be partnered up with the concern of our mental health of the children. How do you pair that in your head?
Well, first of all, for lack of a better statement, these children, these people, they're not very bright. So that's already mental health. Something is wrong with you. You know, for you to think that this is an okay challenge. I mean, we had the water challenge. We had the getting on the crates challenge, which was also, to me, not very bright. You know, why do we keep on creating more and more stuff to hurt ourselves? Who does a challenge that could potentially hurt you? You know, you should love you more than anybody else. So if no one else is looking at the well-being of your life, you should be. You know, doing all these challenges that does not benefit you, you know, it's totally ridiculous. Why would you sign up for that? But it's total peer pressure. And you know what? We've been dealing with peer pressure since we were children. But this is crazy. This is beyond peer pressure. This is suicide.
Yeah.
Because now something happens to you, you go into the hospital, the people who challenged you, they can't help you.
Absolutely. I love the point that we've been dealing with peer pressure for a while. But Lord have mercy. This and not only that, this stuff is back to back to back to back. Every time you turn around, you know, we had some we had the riding on the back of the bus. Then after a while, you had the jumping on the elevator, from one elevator to the next. I mean, we didn't have this stuff back to back. They are truly out of control. Where it's almost like they're trying to outdo one another with these different challenges.
So they're trying to outkill one another. That's what it is. They're trying to outkill one another. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. That's what they're trying to do. That's their anthem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Pastor KL, hold on, because we'll be back. Vivian's on with her story from yesterday. I definitely want to talk about that and have that conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Where's my girl Tamika at? Let's say good morning to Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning and happy Thursday. We're almost there.
Ooh, almost there. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Of course, loving being on, of course, our Due Time crew, our listeners. I'm just loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Well, thank you. Love having you with us. We're talking about the lap dance that's going on for homecoming. Homecoming ain't what it used to be, Tamika. What's going on in school? What's going on?
I'm trying to figure out. So you just take your leader hat, you know, the stuff that you have been teaching these children for the length of time, and you just throw it away for a length of time. You know, I remember a couple of times working in schools, and there were certain guidelines and things that you couldn't do. And I'll give you a for instance, you know, if you are a male teacher and a female student comes into the room, you have to either leave the door open or you have to have someone else in the room. You know, those were guidelines that you did. Now you got people in underwear and Hooters outfits and you shaking what your mama gave you, and I'm laughing at it. That's not funny to me, you know. And my thing is, if those are the guidelines that you gave, it doesn't change during homecoming. I remember my high school, they had an actual like kind of party a year after we graduated, and we thought we were doing something because we were electric sliding with the principal, and you know, but still there was still a modicum of respect. You know, it doesn't change because you're having homecoming. This is ridiculous.
Absolutely. It is, you know, like you were saying, I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't want them interacting with the students in a certain way. So how are you doing all of this? How are you doing all of this here where they're lap dancing? They have a picture of one of the girls. She's bent over with her butt with a teacher. And I'm like, really? And this is okay? You look over down a few chairs as a principal, and you saw this butt up in the air, and you had a happified, good old laughing time. I don't know. As a matter of fact, he's standing up, and she's bent over. I mean, she's got to be rubbing. There's another picture of a girl. Oh, no, is that a boy? Because he doesn't have one. rubbing a male teacher's stomach. And you got two teachers in two other chairs laughing, clapping, having a good old time. So I don't know, Tamika. It's just a mess here. I need you to talk about this teacher who said to the Muslim student, we do not negotiate with terrorists.
If you ask me, that's not the teacher's first time. You know, here's the thing that bothers me. The fact that you feel comfortable, you know, just uttering words or doing things, you know, that's the thing that bothers me, is that you feel like, I guess, you're above reprimand. You know, and I, my thing is, okay, fine, you are an educator, you know, and with that in mind, you need to watch what you say, what you do, you know, and you should be, you know, concerned about that because you don't know the impact of that phrase that you know, this child or, you know, I understand that he's a little older in age, but you don't understand the impact that the things that you do and the things that you say affect these people as they become adults and they become sensitive, you know, and you don't know what that response will create in this child. We have to be really, really careful what we do to our children because it does affect them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're wondering why these children are responding or you know, saying or doing certain things because we don't have a clue what they're coming from. So I think this stuff needs to be really taken into consideration. And finally, our children are sticking garlic up their nose to clear their sinuses, and they're saying, hey, ain't nothing wrong with this.
Well, I was having, you know, recently and still kind of going through it, a little congestion issue. I was thinking about trying it, but no, I'm just joking. This concept of, you know, following the leader, you know, okay, so you follow the leader to death. So if I jump off a bridge, you jump off a bridge, and we're both dead. This just doesn't make sense, you know, like as soon as you see something on TikTok, oh, I'm going to try that. You know, we did little things, you know, but when you look at something and you say, garlic is a food, you know, and do your research on what garlic does. Now you're shoving it up your nose. You know, it just because I saw you do it, I'm going to try it. And my thing is, I don't even know you. You know, I saw somebody on television, you know, on TikTok do it. And I just want to try it. And the end result, you don't recognize that you could be damaged just because they did it and survived. You know, we look at we were talking about the milk crate challenge. These people, one lady literally broke her arm, and you could see the video, and you still want to try it. This just doesn't make sense to me. Just follow the lead. It's got to stop.
Yeah, this is going to a level of extreme. And unfortunately, you know, we have the internet, which makes this, you know, worse because now, you know, it's easy to follow people that you see on the internet. You know, before it was contained. If it wasn't on your block, wasn't in your school, you know, you didn't know that it was going on because we only got 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. We ain't see all that on no TV. So
right.
You know, it's really something that, you know, this is really becoming worse because of, you know, the internet. But thank you so much, Lady Tamika. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you with us today. Oh, I see that Brother Al has joined us. Let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the blessed morning. How you doing, Pastor Steph? Oh, yeah.
I am well, thank you. I just realized that you weren't here for most of our news. So
I missed all the news.
Yes. So actually, I'm going to put you on pause here, and I'm going to move on, and we'll come back later and have a chat with you, okay? But I wanted to say good morning to you. All right.
Thank you for joining us
today. All righty. Let's say good morning to our girl, Shantese. Good morning, Shantese.
Good morning. How's everyone? Do I sound clear?
Fine. Thank you. You're not on speakerphone, are you? You sound a little bit airy over there. I want to make sure I get everything you said.
Okay, I'm trying. Got a lot going on this morning.
Thank you so much. What's going on with the lap dance? You know, you were the one who exited high school most recently. What would have happened had your homecoming included lap dances?
I don't. How does that get implemented? What does that have to do with homecoming? That's all I've been asking since you mentioned the story. How does that equal homecoming? I've never. And my real question is, how did we get that cool? How did I get this cool with the teacher and the principal to, one, dress like this comfortably around them, even if I was walking around the school like this. And, you know, when I was in high school, me and my friends, we used to wear mini skirts and high heels and boots and stuff to school, you know, because some days we just wanted to dress up. But to dress like that and feel comfortable with walking around a teacher is already a level of dysfunction. Now to be a lap dance, they just wanted an excuse to do that, and they just said, let's try to do this around homecoming. They try to give it a title or a justified reason. It sounds like Christmas. They ain't got nothing to do with no homecoming.
Yeah, and as I was describing to Tamika, I'm looking at, they have like a collage of four photos, and yeah, they lap dances. They are nice and close. This ain't no, you know, it could have been mistaken. No. This is definitely lap dance. All right, so we got the teacher who said to the Muslim student, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
It's not funny, but now what happens if he comes in and blows up the classroom now? It's just like, people think they could say whatever they want, and there was no level. When y'all was talking about this a little while ago, it reminded me, I cannot remember this man's name. When I was in the eighth grade, there was this math teacher we had. I think he was from Africa. I think he was. And he had such a strong accent, and the students used to tease him like crazy. And towards like the end of the semester, maybe the remaining 3 months, I think, he just started snapping back. Like snapping back, not at everyone, but at the students who would be teasing him. And now I guess the teacher's just like, well, I'm going to get you before you get me. I don't know. But what happens if he comes in and starts blowing stuff up around you now? Are you going to look at him like he's stupid? Or are you going to say, well, I did help to plant seed? Because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
But wait. What if he goes home and tells his terrorist parents?
That's what I'm saying. You helping to plant the seed, because like one of you said, you don't know what they're already dealing with. You don't know if his parents are the type that already has this type of mentality, but God is possibly, you know, shielding him from even considering that type of thing, because you can't say they're too young to think about it, because as we've been hearing and reading and seeing, these kids is plotting from when they still in their mother's stomach, okay? So now you're saying this, so now you're bullying, now you've become one of the peers, and you're bullying him, and you're helping to plant this mental seed in his head. Now everybody wondering why these kids got mental issues? It ain't just the kids bullying the other kids. The adults
Absolutely.
Are bullying too.
Absolutely. And a lot of times the bullying starts at home, you know, with
mm-hmm.
the parents. Bullying the children.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right, Shanti. Well, we're moving on to class. I'm looking at this picture of these two huge garlic cloves sticking out this girl's nose.
You know, when are we going to have the common sense challenge? When are we going to have the... Who can open the Bible quickest challenge? When we gonna have the? I'm saying it's just like, and what makes me so upset is I don't remember what challenge it was, but I opened Instagram and there was it Kirk Franklin? It was somebody who was a part of some challenge, and it was like a dance challenge, but still it's like, no, like what are we doing? Why are you have one of the biggest platforms in the Christian arena, especially when it comes to the younger people? Why are you not implementing a challenge in your arena? And now it's like we as Christians are following. I don't care how innocent the challenge looks, because look at what else it's connected to. Who I'm gonna sit and put what up my nose? It's bad enough we gotta get tested for COVID, and I'm gonna sit and shove clothes up my nose. And I understand about peer pressure and seeing it. A lot of this ain't about no peer pressure. A lot of this is because there isn't nothing to do for a lot of these kids. and they're seeing everybody else doing. No one has to necessarily, because peer pressure a lot of times is either passively aggressive or someone actually bullying you to doing it. A lot of these kids are seeking to be destructive. Trust me, I know. They're looking for ways to be destructive, even if they don't realize it. And unfortunately, like you said, Pastor Steph, because it's just so accessible now, you can just open your app and see the stupidity. Oh, okay. Let me follow. Let me do.
This really, really, really behooves us to make sure we're looking at what our children are doing and what
exactly.
they're watching.
Exactly.
Because, see, something like this, you know, if they look at a challenge where you're jumping off a bridge, they just may say, oh, no, I won't do that. But if you're looking at a challenge where people, all they're doing is sticking something up their nose, then,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know,
that's what leads to. But that's what leads to, okay, all they're doing is sticking something up their nose. Okay, now all they're doing is jumping off the bridge. I will do that. You know, it's not going to start with the, okay, all they're doing is jump off a bridge. Oh, no, that seems so crazy. No, the enemy is going to, the same thing he does with us with sex and with liquor and all that. He don't come out and you're a virgin, and now all of a sudden he's going to make sure you see the AIDS campaigns. No, he's going to make sure you see the reality shows where they're promoting casual sex and switching partners and same sex and threesomes and, oh, this is popping and this is good. And then after you done all these things and didn't protect yourself, now you sitting here seeing the commercials, and now you're almost peeing yourself because you went to go get tested. Now you got to wait 3 days for the results. And during the 3 days, now you see the AIDS campaign. That's how he works.
Wow.
So
well,
you
for
really... You're welcome. You know, we got to be on point with each other.
Thank you for painting that picture for us. Oh, all right. So I got my girl Vivian here. Thank you so much, my due time crew. Thank you, Snatchies, for joining us today. You know, we always like you here on Thursdays with us. I got my girl Vivian here with us, and I want Vivian to give us this story from yesterday regarding the blind date. So let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. Please give us that story about the blind date again. Let's talk about that.
All right. Okay, it says, okay, so a mother who was concerned that her 29-year-old son lacked a dating life set him up on a blind date, hoping that he would click and settle down. So the man, known as Mr. Liu, agreed to go on the blind date and agreed to foot the bill. Sources say the man arrived at the restaurant waiting for his date to arrive and was surprised to see her walk in with 23 of her family members. When asked why she would bring 23 family members on a date meant for two, the woman responded that she wanted to test how generous her potential significant other was before committing to a serious relationship. The article does not go into great detail as to any discussion that was had when he saw her walk in with 23 other people, but apparently everyone sat down, ordered their food, and ate, and when the check came, there was some discussion that her family should pay their share, and when they refused, Mr. Liu left the restaurant, leaving her and her family with a $3,100 bill. Now, I did the math, and I don't know if that included a tip, but just the $31 alone divided by 24 people that were left at the restaurant, that is approximately $130 each.
Thank you so much, Vivian, for rereading that story for us.
You're welcome.
All right, and we ask that you have a blessed day. We hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Oh, Pastor KL. Woo. So you go on a blind date. and she pulls up with 23 family members. How does this date go?
I'd be blind because you couldn't see me. couldn't see me after that. I'd be like, Madea, can you see me? I'd be in the car. First of all, you know, a blind date does not mean that you just bring a bunch of folks because I don't know what you look like. I don't want how do you say, I want to see how generous you are? I'm not. You're a blind date. I've already talked about this. Last year, depending on what side of the fence or what side of the menu you buy, we know the situation. Now, listen, if you got 23 other folks going on the wrong side of the menu, we're going to be all right for the rest of the week. But no, there is no way in the world. There's no way in the world I'm spending all that money. No, not me. No. That's disrespectful. You know, what are we, Meals on Wheels? You don't have a food at the house? So everybody needs, no, thank you. Yeah, I would have got up and walked out too. I sure would have.
Okay, my question is, would you have allowed your mom to set you up on a blind date?
No. Well, I don't know. Wait, I might have. I have to admit, because I'm a mama's boy, so you know, mama know what I like. But no, not the entourage. Yeah. You know, listen, we are not walking around Jericho. You know, so I'm not bringing all these folks to let the walls fall down. That's not happening. No. She brought the whole children of Israel. Talk about generous. No. Moses, Pharaoh, let my people go. Let them go. Let them go home. Let them go home.
Wow. Goodness gracious. Where is Brother Al? Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
So would you allow Mom to facilitate the blind date?
N-O means no. Not at all. Ma, I got this, Ma. Don't worry. I'll take care of this, Ma. You let me handle it. So, no, Mom, don't hook me up at all, period. I got this.
Okay. So you show up, you're waiting, and she rolls in with 23 people. What happens after that?
So what happened, once I see her come in, and I see she got 23 people, and she come on, be like, oh, how you doing? Are you Al? I'm like, well, actually not. I'm his friend, and he asked me to just come and tell you that he's sorry he wasn't able to make it, and, you know, maybe he can, you know, make this up to you some other time. So, you know, he had an emergency, so he just sent me to, you know, to let you know that, you know, so you wouldn't be just looking around. So I'll let him know that you did come through, and he'll call you. I promise you that's what I did. Oh, look, Jacob only had 12 sons. Jacob only had 12 sons.
You know what, please.
I'm just saying, Jacob only had 12 sons. Now, come on. 12 sons and one daughter, that's what he had.
No. We can't do any part of this rap. No, we will not do it. I'm speaking knowledge here.
I'm speaking knowledge. What are you talking about?
What is the mentality, Brother Al, of a woman who would even bring 23 people on a blind date?
That gotta tell me. That honestly would tell me she ain't wrapped too tight. There's some mental issues going on. Seriously, because who you think about it, who does that? I mean, that when I'm listening to Vivian read the story, and in my mind I'm like, okay, how can this story go? I'm thinking, you know, she might have came there, she ate a lot of food, but she brought 23 people with her. She not wrapped too tight. You know, she sat there and her friends were like, yo, I'm hungry too. So, you know, her family's like, I'm hungry too. So we all going to go. Oh, no, she ain't wrapped too tight. So you already telling me that, number one, you ain't wrapped too tight. Number two, if me and you get involved, your family going to constantly be in our relationship. So you already, oh, you messed up.
That's what I was waiting to hear. Pastor KL, what type of woman brings 23 people on a date, on a blind date?
Oh, I had a good joke for that one, but it's not good. I have no idea. A crazy woman. A homeless woman. A homeless woman with their family who's homeless. I mean, I can only imagine that you got to be homeless and y'all need a meal. I mean, listen, because apparently one doggy bag was not going to feed 23 people. So we all had to be. They spend $100 and something a piece. They don't eat that much at Burger King. I just don't understand. I'm not understanding. I don't know what kind of folk do that. A homeless person. Homeless person. Wheels on wheels.
Tamika, what are we talking about here? Okay, so would you allow one of your parents to set up a blind date for you?
I have lived that life one time in my life. I let my mother set me up with somebody that she thought was perfect for me. I didn't like him physically. We didn't talk. He didn't have any type of conversation. The whole day was a literal bust from the time he came to the door to the time he dropped me off home. And I was like, oh my gosh, when is this going to end? When she saw how disastrous it was, she says, I'll never do it again. I said, thank you so much. I think, honestly, I did it because she kept saying, oh, I've got somebody at my job, and he's nice for me. He's just perfect for you. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll try it. When he came to the door, I knew I was done. I was like, can you find another daughter that, you know, you had? Because it was a disaster, and I would never, ever, ever do it again.
Okay. So then what's your thought when she shows up with 23 people? You're clearly not the man. But as a woman, what do you say to yourself when she shows up with 23 people?
Well, you know, at 23 people, you know, I have a problem with, you know, we going out on a date and you bring your mama or your daddy. Like, okay, what is the problem? I mean, just you have no one-on-one. There's a problem when you invite 23 of, so it's not just your mom, your dad, your siblings. You got cousins and uncles and, you know, all of those that are at the table. That's unbelievable. And you decided that he was going to pay and stick him with debt. How much do you expect one person to deal with? You know, just having a tab for you and mama or daddy is enough. You know, you got 23 other people. I say we just buy an extra large popcorn shrimp and everybody take a little piece of popcorn shrimp and just walk on. You know, that's how we do. We got 31, get an extra large thing of popcorn shrimp. Everybody stick their finger in there and get their one piece of shrimp and we ready to go.
Pick and pass.
Pick and pass, exactly.
Woo, Shanti, would you let your parents set you up on a blind date?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. I'm not offended.
I knew you wouldn't be. No, we got you.
Okay, so what's the thought of the 23 people showing up?
Well, my first thought is I feel sorry for the server. Right, because for this person to bring 23 people, this was on our side of the fence. See, we just always got to top off. We just always got to be at the top. So when a server sees 23 people on our side of the fence walk in, our whole demeanor changes. And that means they have no money. And then when the people sit at the table who ain't got no money, they the ones who want to be the spokesperson. So you got 23 spokespeople at the table with no tip. I feel sorry for that server. That's where my mind went first. Second, what kind of conversation? Like, so you went to your family and say, "Yo, I got this date. Let's roll out." Like, how did that work? I don't. Were y'all just sitting waiting for whoever. It almost sounds like the families that live in one house, and they, like, take turns as to who they're going to put up in another house first. Like, okay, we all going to ante up to put Stephanie in her home, and then next year we all going to ante up and put Tamika in her home. And so it's like everybody just sit around and wait to see who's going to get a date, and then whoever gets the date, that's where we all going to roll out. And tacky is the word.
You know, I've been trying to think of a whole lot of scenarios, you know, as to how we got here. That's always my question. How did we get here? Because that was my question. How do you get to the point where you go on a blind date? Somebody, you knew that this was somebody's son. So you would eventually have to see this woman again. So what were you going to say to this woman when he went back and told his mama you showed up with 23 people? So clearly, this was a one-shot deal. This clearly was a one-shot deal. You really didn't expect to date this man again. You could not have. Because what person would pay this bill? It's 23 people at the wedding. So what are you doing here that you would invite 23 people on a blind date because you wanted to see how generous he was? I wouldn't have even, Pastor KL said the first thing, I wouldn't have even had sat down. So I've been sitting here as all of you have been talking, and I've been trying to think of many scenarios that really would have, you know, gotten, and I'm thinking about gotten us here, and I'm thinking about the insensitivity of it all. And that's what I want us to talk about today, you know, because this needs to end on a level. You know, everybody's giving their comment and stuff like that, but I really want us to hone in on, you know, as Christian people, you know, we've seen levels of insensitivity go on. Now, clearly this ain't no Christian person, but like I said, as a Christian person, I've seen levels of insensitivity. You've seen levels of insensitivity. And we need to help our listeners understand that you may not go to this level of insensitivity, but here's what I want us to do. Insensitivity also looks like, that's what I want us to do. So, Brother Al, I'm going to start with you. Insensitivity also looks like what? And we have no business doing it, because we got to end this with some level of lesson here. What do you want to say to the listeners today?
Okay, let's see. So, insensitivity looks like, that's a good one there. Insensitivity looks like you just don't care. You know, you don't care about the next person failing. You know, because when you're insensitive, that means you just don't care how this person feels. This person can be like, man, you know, I went through some things today and I feel bad. Okay, well, get over it. So you're insensitive to the person feeling. You don't care about how that person feels or how anybody feels, if that's the case.
Okay. I wanted an example. That's what I wanted. So I'm gonna come back to you. I'm gonna come back.
Okay.
Give you a chance to think. Tamika, you know,
okay.
I want you to help the listeners, and we're saying insensitivity also looks like, you're the visual person. Give us a hand here.
Okay, so I went to elementary school. There were only three black children in our school. And I was reprimanded for the hairstyle that I had, you know, and back then the Jerry curl was a popular thing. And, there were plenty of times where, you know, they said that my hair was greasy and I needed to change my hairstyle to make it more appropriate for my school. But I'm like, okay, this is the culture of what we have. You know, at the time, it was either braids. I can't be that, you know, you get to an age where you don't want to braid. You don't want to wear braids at 14 years old. You're going to adulthood, you know. And so their thing was they were so insensitive about the fact that my hair was like that. Well, I needed to wear my hair like everybody else. Well, I didn't look like everybody else, so I couldn't fit in, you know. And so there were plenty of things that were said and done derogatory towards me. And it was like, well, we don't particularly care how you feel, how you're going to react. And it actually had lasting impressions, you know, whereas I went through stages, even as an adult, with my hair, because, you know, I thought that I had to fit in until I started to, you know, realize, okay, you know, you don't have to fit in. This is who you are, accept who you are, and everybody else will adjust to what you are. You don't do it the other way around.
Okay, good, 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 good example. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Brother Al, what you got for us?
Oh, I had to come back. Okay. Yeah, okay. excuse me. Basically, working here at the school where you can't flaunt your religion or what you believe in. You know, you can't go on what you believe in because they so busy saying, oh, well, you might hurt somebody's feelings because you believe something this way. And I'm looking at them like, are you serious? I mean, what they believe in, what I believe in, that's their business, and this is my business. But here at the school, when you're in this school setting, you have to, like, basically keep your mouth closed. And I'm looking at them like, wow, so they're insensitive. And the funny thing about it, they're so insensitive to how you feel, you know, about your religion. They don't want you to say anything, but yet and still, they sit here and you have to respect the gay community that's in the school. If they feel like wearing a dress or doing this or whatever, you got to respect that. So I'm looking at it like, wow, this is crazy. So that's what, wow, you know, our experience here, you know, in the school system.
Wow, wow, interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting point. Thank you so much. Shanti, the statement, insensitivity also looks like,
insensitivity also looks like you grieving the person who God is sending to serve you. You know, I know we've cracked a lot of jokes on here about, you know, going to restaurants and, you know, dealing with the servers dealing with the guests. Unfortunately, the Christian community is amongst the highest group of people that are the most annoying to serve. And as a Christian, you need to look at it as more than you just going out to eat. You know, you're being served. You know, this person is here to do more than just take your order and bring your food. You are a priority. You know, if you were to see your server in the back on their phone or eating and you sit waiting for your food, you would get offended. You know, you would feel upset because your mindset, then you would grasp the concept of you're here to serve me. But when it comes time to make sure you have enough money to go out to eat, when it comes time to showing your appreciation by properly compensating them via tip for the job. Now, if they haven't served you properly, then by all means, you tip them accordingly. But when I've seen Christians like look for reasons why they don't want to tip, and it's just disgusting. But you have to understand, and I've heard people say, well, then they shouldn't have this job. Then you shouldn't have this job. As a Christian, that is so insensitive because you have to immediately have the discernment as to when God is blessing you with the opportunity to be served. I always say eating is a necessity. Going out to eat is a luxury. And while you're luxuriating, you need to be showing the attributes that God is instilling to you to that person that is now here to be your servant for that period of time. So it has to stop being this whole like I'm lording this over you, and really pay attention to how insensitive your attitude is towards a lot, you know, of these servers, whether it's a dining restaurant or whether it's like a fast food place. You know, it still needs to be, you know, you need to be paying attention to the insensitivity that you're portraying.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. Good point. Pastor Cal, you've got the final word today. Insensitivity also looks like. You talking to the mute button, Pastor Cal?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was. I said, first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Ed for that deep... that deep word she just gave, you know, that was deep, Shanti. I thought about Pastor Ed real quick. I said, wow.
That's all right. You do that thing, Pastor Edis.
That's right. She was passionate about that restaurant thing. Well, she was passionate. You struck a nerve, Pastor Steph. but I think let's go into the platform of the church. I think insensitive is when the preacher or the pastor know your business and he goes out there and preach it.
Mm.
And not only that, but everybody else knows your business, and they know that he or she is talking about you. You know, I think that's very, very insensitive. Not only is it insensitive, it puts you at a position where you might leave the church. And then he or she, the pastor, doesn't know that now the blood is on your hands if something happens to that person. I think you have to be very, very sensitive in the spirit, you know, when you do a sermon or when you're speaking about anything. You know, there are subtleties, you know, if you're trying to get somebody's attention. But you don't do it over the platform. You don't do it over the pulpit. So I think that's
right.
Very, very, very insensitive. Very insensitive.
Very good one. Good one, good one. Thank you so much. Oh, you all brought out very good points of what insensitivity looks like. And I think that as Christian people, we need to definitely look at things like this as an example and really let it, you know, sink in as to how we may be, you know, insensitive to other people. You may not be so blatant as bringing 23 people to the pool, to the pulpit, to the restaurant, but it definitely has its other look that's definitely something that's a game changer for some people. Thank you so much, my Due Time crew. And I pray that you have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you.
You too.
As well.
All right, Shanti. You know, last couple of weeks we've been praying for them, the them being, you know, people, you know, that we've talked about in these news stories. But today we're going to focus on who?
All right, so typically when we do our Pray for Them segment, it's on celebrities. Not that you can't find something to pray for regarding this, but as I was looking, I came across a story unrelated to a celebrity earlier this week. A three-year-old by the name of Major Harris was missing. His father, Carlton Harris, was holding they had him hold a press conference to help look for his son. They found the son's mother dead. She was in another city. They were from Onalaska, I think that's how you pronounce it, Wisconsin, and they found her body in Milwaukee. So he was, you know, telling everyone he didn't know why. People asked him, well, why was she here? I guess they weren't together anymore. They were just co-parents. And he said he didn't know why she was in the other city, but his main focus was, you know, to find the son. Unfortunately, she was already passed, so his focus was there. Well, I woke up this morning and saw that they did find the baby murdered. Yes, they found him murdered. And the cause of death was a gunshot wound to the head. Found him in a storage container, I think in an alley. I couldn't immediately, I was like, okay, God, I feel like you're telling me this just trumps, you know, like I said, we lifted up the celebrities in prayer mainly because we don't think that they really need prayer. We don't pay that much attention. We may see whatever headlines they're in. It's like, oh, that's crazy, that's sad, and we keep going. But this situation here, you know, and it just brought to mind what God has had you doing, Pastor Steph, every Sunday night, the past four Sundays. And 1 week, he targeted the children. And again, he said he didn't know why. Her family didn't know why she was in that city. They did release a statement, quoting, Mallory became involved in a life she never shared with our family. She was much too private. She was an honest person with too much trust. We have just found out, end quote. They said, you know, she was working two jobs and she was working towards being a nurse. But they also believe that this may have had something to do with a level of domestic violence They arrested a few people that they felt were involved. Somehow they got around to one guy. His last name is Clark. I forgot his first name. But they found him when they went looking for him. They found him. He had killed himself by the time they found him. So needless to say, he probably did really have something to do with it. But I would just really like to lift the father, Carlton Harris, in prayer, because this wasn't his only child, but I believe this was his baby. We don't know what state of mind he's in. We don't know what kind of relationship he had with the mother, because they say he doesn't have any type of relationship with her family. So we don't know if that's because of any friction, because, you know, he's African-American. I believe she's Caucasian. So we don't know if it's something like that. But to really keep his mental state, you know, he seemed very well. You could tell he was distraught, but he really held it together. The press conference that I saw earlier this week, but we really don't know what kind of mindset he's in to not only, you know, lose the mother to your child, but to also lose your child and the way you lost your child. So to really lift him up in prayer and just pray that God really massages his heart and there's no vengeance in his intentions or motives, and, you know, that he's blessed with a really good support system, and that this will be a great opportunity for God to either introduce or reintroduce himself into this man's life, because, again, we don't know his lifestyle or anything like that. So I just really felt like this was something that really needed to be put out there today.
Wow. How old was the baby?
3. And the mother was 25. They found her with multiple gunshot wounds in some house.
Wow. Oh, boy. You know, well, first of all, thank you for bringing this story to our attention. And, you know, like I said, for the past couple of weeks, we have not prayed for anyone who was well-known. We've had such outrageous and outlandish stories, these news stories. And today, you know, I just didn't focus on, you know, anything in particular. I just wanted to talk about the news again, because I think we really take life for granted. I think we take a lot of our blessings for granted. I think, you know, we take, you know, a lot of men, you know, we have 2 men on our panel who have, you know, mothers, a couple of moms, you know, for their children. And, you know, take for granted that these women are mentally stable. Pascal has been very candid about 2 of the moms of his children and the, you know, the lifestyles that they, you know, they led and how he ended up with the children. But, you know, when we read these news stories, we really, that's all I wanted to do today. I just wanted to talk about the news, because I really think we just take for granted all the things that go on in our life, and we just move on. You know, we just live with it. We just adapt. We just adjust. And to hear something like this is devastating. And that's why I wanted to end, you know, that segment with the insensitivity also looks like. Because, you know, we comment on these news stories all the time. And a lot of times, again, you know, we're looking at the blatancy of somebody bringing 23 people to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But how, like you brought up, like Tamika brought up, and Al and, you know, Pastor Kale, you know, there's many other ways that insensitivity is subtle. And we really live in a world where who would intentionally shoot a 3-year-old? What kind of mind do you have to do that? So, you know, we have to make it our business to lift up these individuals. I'm just almost speechless, and that doesn't happen very often. That really doesn't happen very often with me. I don't end up speechless very often in my little 54 years, but this one is, and it's not like the first time we've heard it, but just just not expecting that to be your story. Mm-hmm. But let us hold hands and let us hold hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for your loving kindness today toward all of us who are on this broadcast, who wake up every day and we listen and we walk away, disconnect, and we move on about our day. And this is one opportunity, God, where we're just taking a pause at this moment to lift up Mr. Carlton Harris, who must be devastated. If we're feeling the heaviness of this loss, of these losses, of the mom who was 25 and the son who was 3, we just could not fathom the loss that he must be feeling, God. And we really hold him high, close to you, God. We don't know whether he knows you. We don't know where his fake level is. We don't know what he's thinking. We don't know who he's surrounded by. But we do know that he's in your hands. We do know that your word says that you're close to the brokenhearted. And Lord, we're just handing him over to you completely, so that you could, as Shanti said, just rub his heart, that he would feel that he's in your arms, that he would feel your love even at this level of loss, that he would believe who you are and what you are right now, that if he had any semblance of thought as to who you were, that he's not losing anything right now, that he's not so heartbroken that he's becoming discouraged, you know, in his faith, that he's not becoming less of a believer, that he's now questioning, you know, who you are and if you love him and why, you know, you would do this to him and his family, God. We are praying that his strength is held also in the palm of your hand, God, and that you would surround him with physical people to carry him right now, to love him in a special way right now, that he would not have thought that the story could end this way when he was speaking earlier this week, just not believing that this could be the end of his story, God. And God, we're going to lift up anyone else who is suffering right now. Anyone else who has been dealt a major blow, someone else who is who has suffered such a major loss, who just, they don't even know which way to turn right now, God. Because as I'm speechless, I couldn't even imagine that they would know what to do, where to go, God. But here we are. We're sending them to you. Even in our words, God, our prayer has so much power. Your word says the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Actual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, God. And we're humbly coming before you, God, on behalf of Mr. Carlton and other individuals, God, who have had to deal with these circumstances, God, who deal with loss of children. Candace, God, we're lifting, and anyone else who's had to suffer the sudden loss of a child, especially, God, that this would be an opportunity for them to know you in a different way. You know, we don't know what you're doing from moment to moment, God, but you always got a plan. We can be assured of that. And we're trusting you, God. And, Lord, we're just asking that each and every person who is listening would be sensitive to these type stories, that even if they were not the ones who were experiencing it, God, that they would, you know, take the time to pray, to lift these people up, God. You know, not just move on throughout their day because it's not them, but that they would, you know, be moved in their heart to just pause for a moment, to turn off the TV, to stop scrolling through social media, to stop laughing and giggling, to just lift up all of these people to you, dear Heavenly Father, that Sunday night prayer would mean something different. Just like the sound of this story, God, as you have, you know, gathered us together so that we can come on one accord, on one platform at one time with one voice for the sake of your kingdom, dear Heavenly Father. And we're grateful for Shantice, you know, relaying what you've given her, God, so that we can take the time and pause, you know, during these shows to just talk to you about these people, God. And we don't have to know them physically. We don't have to know them personally, God, for our hearts to be in tune with them, to their needs or their loss or their concerns or their issues, God. And we're thanking you, God, for raising us up to this level that we understand and we do feel the sensitivity of these people's lives, dear Heavenly Father, that you could use us for such a time as this. So we're thanking you for this outlet. We're thanking you that, you know, we can all join together regardless of how we are separated geographically. And we can touch and agree. And we can hold up all that need you, who don't, especially those who don't know you. And that they would feel you just because we're talking to you about them, God. And we thank you for listening to us. We thank you for just giving us the understanding and the vision to help other people, even in this manner. These are so many things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Shantice, and we pray you have a really blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Have you felt the need to pray for anyone? Have you felt, you know, has your heart been moved, you know, all of a sudden to just stop and pray for somebody? Has someone come to your mind, you know, unexpectedly out of the clear blue sky? You know, were you just doing something, busying yourself, and all of a sudden somebody popped up in your head, popped up in your heart? Talk to God about them. Not just happening for nothing. You know, we don't have to, again, know the situation at that point. You know, it's different when someone comes to me and they say, you know, Steph, can you pray for me? And I say, okay, what am I praying for? You just pray for me. I can't pray for you like that. I can't. Not when it's requested. You know, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about just there are times when you're just sweeping or driving or, you know, looking at TV and all of a sudden, you know, Spirit of the Lord say, call somebody. Call so-and-so. You know, pick up the phone and call them. If someone is staying on your mind, you have somebody on your mind, have somebody, go talk to God about them. Because we don't know why God is putting them on your mind. You know, what can I say to God about these people? What can I say to God about this people or that person? There's a method to everything and a madness to everything God does, and He uses us in a great way. A lot of times, I think we underestimate that we can be used by God. You know, what are we What are we here for? Why has God spared our life? You know, is it to pray for other people? You know, we really have to think about the point that God is making when he calls somebody to our attention. That was heavy. That was really heavy today. But it makes me really, again, appreciate all of the things that God gives us. You know, yesterday we got word that my youngest girl, she passed her road test. And despite the fact that I was ecstatic for her accomplishment, because it meant a lot to her, in many ways. If you know Tamasia, then you know exactly why it would mean so much to her. But oh my good Lord, what that meant for Stephanie. I was like, oh good Lord, really? I won't be sleeping now, because she's one who, she's got a level of ingenuity where she'd be behind the wheel a whole lot more than her sisters. You know, since there's a baby, but to wait for somebody, you know, to get their own car or, you know, not her. She would, you know, she would talk you into, you know, letting her drive your car. And that means she's going to be behind the wheel a little bit more. And I started my prayer already last night. I said, God, I know you hear my prayer. I know you know my heart right now. And although I'm ecstatic about her accomplishment, oh, I can't handle this already. I have aged. I'm about 93 right about now. You know, these are things that we experience in life. You know, we carry, you know, these loads and burdens and all kinds of things and all these thoughts. And I was like, I won't be sleeping. You know, but, you know, it's just so much. It's just so much to talk to God about. That's my point. You know, I'm starting my prayer from now. I ain't waiting till she actually get behind me. I'm praying from now, God. I'm sending up my prayers right now. You know, God does what he needs to do to bring you closer to him. And, you know, by me praying for her more, that sends her to him more in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways. So, you know, again, when God does things, you know, there are accomplishments. Yeah, there are accomplishments, but there are other things that, you know, bring to God, lift to God, and take those times and utilize those moments to talk to God just a little bit more. If somebody's going through something or somebody needs the prayer, get to praying and join us on Sunday night. Please, we need you to stand and preach with us, okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through for us. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for hanging out with us and joining the conversation. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Listen, pray, 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 and pray. Stay before the Lord. The longer you talk to God, the closer you have that relationship with him. The more you have that relationship with him, make sure you keep God as the forefront of your life. You won't go wrong. Until tomorrow, God spares our life. I love you.